everybody, welcome to Smashing Game Time. We are two brothers that go through gaming's back catalog of yesteryear. I am your host, Nick. I am joined, as always, by my brother, Josh.
Good morrow, everyone.
Good morrow on this wonderful, wonderful day. We are recording. The big Xbox news just broke. We'll get to that in the news. So things are a little meh here. Like, it's not the end of the world, but shit's fucked. Shit is absolutely fucked. Hey, so guess what? We're going to do our games we're playing. We're going to do the news, and then we're going to fuck off. We're going to do the meme, too, and then we're going to fuck off. That's what we're going to do.
Yes. Moment of silence for all those that are affected.
Moment of silence for them. I was going to do something cheeky like, hey, let's name a studio and then determine if it's still alive or not. But maybe we'll do that next week just because I'm not in the mood for it. Shit's fucked.
I mean, it was a good idea. It was a good idea at first. But then when this came out, it's like, okay, this is starting to sting a little bit. Let's maybe give it a week or two. Give it some, you know,
it's just even if you make something great, even if you make this amazing thing that everybody loves, it's not good enough. Someone I follow on Twitter posted like a video or an image of, hey, this is what it would look like. And it was like a big gooey gum looking thing. It's like, this is what it would look like if every human got minced up and put into a big ball. We're all just human meat, guys. That's what I'm saying. I digress, though. This is Smashing Game Time. You can find us anywhere you get your podcast. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube Podcasts. We're on YouTube proper, where you can see our wonderful faces. Yes. I'll do the square. Hey, guess what? You know what I'm going to say. You know what? I'm going to sing it. I'm in the singing mood. Fuck the algorithm. Tell a friend.
That cut out so badly. I'm so thankful.
I was belting it. Maybe we'll get into a recording studio and record it properly so we have that. But yeah, fuck the algorithm, tell a friend. Word of mouth is king here. Fuck the business people. Fuck them and their algorithms right up their fucking asses. I'm not angry. Gaming, we're gaming. Yeah, let's do the games. Josh, I'll go first.
Okay.
So I see we both played What Remains of Edith Finch. Did you beat it?
I did, and I 100%ed it.
Me too.
I know, I saw that. I was like, if Nick can do it, I can.
I was so excited to see that you could just go back and replay some of the chapters.
I about cried because I missed the first peephole in the fence. Mm, And I was like, God damn it, I'm going to have to go back and do it. And then as soon as I got to, who's it, Lewis? Is that what his name is? Yeah, Lewis. As soon as I got to his door and peeped, it gave me the achievement. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. I don't have to go back.
They pop pretty, like, almost instantaneously. Like, it's fastest I've ever seen an achievement pop.
I mean, I've seen them pop faster, but as fast. But it was very impressive how quickly everything popped. I mean, everything in the game. I've watched it several times. I've watched speedrunners play it. I have never been for a short game. I mean, I beat it in 106 minutes. I have never been more impressed playing a game that I already know what's going to happen and what it does. I was so emotionally invested. I cried a lot.
This is a very upsetting game. We won't get too much into it because we want to save it. We're going.
Yeah.
Josh and I are going over. We're visiting 321 Backlog to talk about Remains of Edith Finch. We're going over there at the end of the month. I think that episode will probably come out in June. The one thing, you know what I think I'm going to do? I keep talking about getting back onto the website and writing now that I am outside of fellowship season or the busy part of it. And I think I've got something for Edith Finch. There's this exploration. For those who don't know, this is as the kids would derogatorily call it, a walking sim. You are returning to your childhood home after your mother dies, and you have this cursed family, and you're really just exploring people's living spaces and kind of revisiting how they died. And it's like a multiple generation curse. You have your great aunt and uncles. You have your like grandparents, you have your parents' generation, and then you have your generation. And one thing I found very fascinating was the way the older generations glorify the death of somebody. the way that they kind of spin their own tail and have like the capacity to be able to make it this grandiose thing. And then you get to our generation, essentially the millennials, and it's very gloomy. It's very doomy and gloomy. Like, no, you don't get a grandiose like send off that somebody came up with. It's a no, they were sad, so they took their life. But I'll save all that for 3-2-1 backlog. It's one of those games that, first of all, very quick game. I beat it in 2 hours. One of those games that even though you only spent 2 hours with it playing it, it's going to stick with you much longer after the fact.
Yeah, like I said, the ending. I don't know. Even though I know it's coming, I since I was so emotionally invested into it, I did tear up a little bit. And I was like, God, I knew this was happening. I've seen this happen.
This game has layers.
It just reminded me of that movie, My Sister's Keeper.
I haven't seen it.
It's the one where Cameron Diaz, her daughter, has cancer, so they have a kid, a son, who ends up having being fine, but not being a match. So they end up going and making the little sister. Who is basically like she needs bone marrow, if she needs blood, white blood cells, whatever, they basically can take it from her. And basically it turns out being the little sister wants to be emancipated medically from it all because the sister who has cancer basically just wants to die. She's tired of living. It's a very sad and depressing movie.
For some reason, I get this and Winter's Bone mixed up, but they're two completely different movies.
Oh, yeah, those are two completely different movies.
I am scrolling 1 second.
It's got Alec Baldwin in it.
He doesn't shoot anybody in that, does he?
No, he's the lawyer for the little sister.
Okay. It's based on a book, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure. You know what? I'll have to.
It made me think a little bit of that. I'm not saying it's exactly like, but it just kind of reminded me of that. And it's a very depressing setting and what's going on. And when you start to see more and more into it and get more details, you're like, God damn it, it's so depressing. It's good, but in a depressing way.
Well, and again, I know we don't want to talk about it too much here, but I mean, there's layers to it. Like, you look at the way the house is built, the lower levels, like very, very
traditional,
very traditional, very like there's books everywhere. There's like almost like, you know, like when a dragon is sitting on a treasure trove of stuff.
Yep.
And yeah, it's very traditional. And then you move up a layer and it's a little more, it's packed. There's less books. There's less about each individual. And then you get even higher and it's just very like, I felt seen. I was like, yes, they understand what it means to be born in this generation and to hear about. And then you hear about like cuckoo puff motherfuckers saying, we got to make this country great again. It's like, well, you're the one fucking sucking the life out of it.
Nick, think about this. So, you know, as you're going through each story, she's got the family tree in the book and she like draws their face and stuff. The house and the tree are the same thing. As the higher you go, the less support there is, the more everything starts to look broken, like a branch and stuff. And kind of what it goes to at the very end is you become the leaf that's on that branch, the end of that tree.
It has, we're not part of the Silent Generation, but it also has some interesting things to say about the Silent Generation, which one of them being named Gus fucked with me, and then another one being a one-year-old also fucked with me. If you haven't played What Remains of Edith Finch, go play it. If you want to hear us, if you want to hear us talk more about it, go listen to us talk about it on 3-2-1 Backlog. We'll post when that episode comes up, but I'm ready to go talk about it. I may replay it just to see what I miss.
I might as well, because I found some good details. We'll talk about that. It's been a lot. I want to save it for them.
Fucking Edie. Fucking Edie pissed me off so much by the end.
There is a there's a secret, like there's like a lore behind it, as far as like there's like a theory
behind the grandma
actually going on. Yep.
She pissed me off so fucking much because it reminded me of like just
a particular person.
Yes, it reminded me of a particular person who all this grandiose bullshit, and it's like, no, like you're a miserable fucking person. And yeah, I think people should know about like those who came before them, but you are glorifying death, you fucking bitch.
Psycho, yeah.
And the game sums it up perfectly. That death isn't like the life should be a surprise. Like you should. Like the life is the pleasant surprise.
Yeah, celebrate what was me, but don't glorify it. My death. Don't glorify that. Move on.
Yeah. Real quick, one more thing, and then we'll move on. I know I keep saying we're going to move on. Who was your favorite scenario to play through?
Gameplay wise, I think Lewis had the most interesting because I think
Lewis's was the most heartbreaking.
It is, but at the same time, I can relate to it. Like to an extent of like. I do daydream about it. I catch myself on a daily basis just daydreaming when I'm working on stuff, especially monotonous things where I almost not black out, but you know, like my mind shuts off for a second, and then I'm like snap back into reality. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What am I doing? How did I get here? I don't remember the last 5 minutes of me driving.
I think the two that really stuck with me the most were Milton, just because he doesn't get it. He gets a flip book and that's it.
Yep.
And then Barbara, just because there's so much mystery around Barbara.
Oh, Barbara was so, I mean, honestly, I'm shocked that they were even able to get the rights.
They paid a lot of money for that John Carpenter tune.
Yeah, they had to. I mean, it was so good too, but it also made me think like the style of it too was even different. I loved it so much.
The thing about Barbara's is, cause I remember stumbling upon it and like Edith's like, it's kind of fucked up. Grandma keeps this. And I remember thinking the same thing. And then I realized, oh, the grandma, this is the tale the grandma wants everybody to know, because the real tale is just too far fucking embarrassed. I think Barbara fucking, what I think happened was, I think the Bruno character, and yes, I'm calling him the Bruno character cause he lives in the fucking walls. I think the Bruno character like pranked her. And she slid, like they make a point to like point out that rollerblade on the steps. Yep. And I think he scared her. She stepped on the rollerblade, fucking fell and broke her neck.
I think so. There's a theory, like I said, there's a theory, and I'll talk more in detail about all the deaths, except, but I'll get a little detail with this one. I believe it said like they think it's Sven. Since he lost his hand in the chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Or the saw, whatever it was. They think it's him coming back and he's checking in on everybody, but she heard the news about the killer that's going on, the escaped convict. And she got so scared, she pushed him, you know, hit him with the crutch, ran, hit the rollerblade and falls backwards. And that's the scene that you see when she knocks the guy back.
Yeah, and that guardrail in the present day house is also all fucked up still.
Yeah.
So... We'll talk about. I know. I was like, oh, we're not gonna keep talking about it.
Oh, we talked about it.
we talked about it a lot, but we'll have a lot more to say on 3-2-1 backlog. Excited to talk about that with those guys. So I played this and I was like, you know what? Like, What Remains of Edith Finch? It happened because Gone Home was a thing. So I went and played Gone Home. I actually played it last night. Also, another very short game. Atmospherically, I really love what they do with the, is it a horror game? Is it not a horror game? They put in like elements about like there being a ghost in the house and is there really a ghost? Is there not? Really good sound design because it's a big mansion. The house is constantly creaking. You're essentially a young girl returning home from studying abroad and you return home and your parents aren't there. Your sister's not there. And you just start to like build out what's been going on. You start to find out what's been going on while you've been gone. And the game doesn't like outright tell you anything besides what's going on with Sam. Every time you find something about like a relationship season, a voiceover from her will start to play up. There's stuff going on with your parents as well that isn't explored in that way, but which I do think is a missed opportunity because I think it'd be cool to have like the three different arcs. But mm-hmm. I mean, you get there's a point where like, so your mom works in the your mom's in forestry. They're doing a controlled fire. There's a new coworker that she's very smitten about. You start to find letters that a friend wrote to her about, and you can tell that the mom is writing to the friend about this new coworker. You stumble upon a condom in somebody's. Your married parents, you stumble upon a condom and you're like, oh, fuck, who, what? And then you start to stumble upon, like, marriage counseling pamphlets and, like, your dad's, like, an author who's kind of over the bend and, like, trying to make a return. But then you find letters of him, like, pleading with your mom to, like, hey, we can still make this. It's just really good environmental storytelling. The house is very creepy. A lot of secret passages. There is one jump scare, but it's the dumbest jump scare ever. I think after that, I'm going to go play Firewatch. I've got that on Game Pass, so I'm going to check that out. I'm just in a walkie narrative kind of mood. I might do some walkie. I might go back and finish Kentucky Route Zero after that as well. I'm just in the mood for like walking and being talked to, because I think that'd be really cool. I'm in for a story. I want to be told a story. Playing more Pepper Grinder, still working towards 100%ing that. Playing more Fortnite, trying to get my Battle Pass worked out for the rest of the season. I think it's coming close to an end. I've not been playing a whole hell of a lot like I'm usually doing. If you're listening to this when it comes out, I'm going to be playing Iron Harvest on stream on Nick Fat Knight on Twitch. Going to play through the entire campaign. I went all in and said, hey, Tuesday through Thursdays in May, I'm going to do this. And now part of me is like, oh no, I have to do it. But I want to do it. We're going to get through the whole campaign. We're going to get through all, 28? I think we're going to get through all 32 levels by the end of May. So yeah, if you listen to this on Wednesday, come check it out Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I got to make sure that Twitch page still works. I changed my password, so my code to like stream and everything's probably all goofed up. I know, it's a fucking mess. Josh,
that's a lot of work.
What have you been playing?
Well, before I get to that, Nick, there's two questions everybody wants to know. One, did you finish, was it Wu Tong?
I finished that review.
How bad was it at the end?
The game was fine.
Did it get better? Like buggy wise, did it get better, or did it just stay bad?
I didn't run into a lot of bugs. And then performance wise, it was running fine. Like I was switching between playing it on the PC and playing it on the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. And on the Steam Deck, I did notice like, oh fuck, it kind of dips a bit. But playing on PC, and I've got like a 3050 in this thing.
Yep, 3050.
So I'm not, and my RAM is like all my junk is good. But no, it ran fine for me. I am excited to play Hades 2 here in a little bit, but I digress. What was your second question? I'm sorry.
That Doom book.
Dude, don't even start with me. I've got all
summer. You know, I'm gonna keep asking you.
I've got all summer to read it. I'm interviewing a Rick and Morty writer on Thursday, so I really got to start preparing for that. But
I have to ask it though. That's only fair.
I know. It's behind me. I'm reading more comics than anything, but I'll.
You digress. Anyway.
I digress. What are you playing?
What have I played? So I haven't played it much because I've been catching up on things and trying to get stuff done, but I did play a little bit of Stellar Blade. Not much further than I was before, but I do need to get back into it. I did hop into Gray Zone Warfare, the game last week that was announced sporadically due to Battlestate Games basically just sucking dick, basically
shitting the bed,
yeah, and then the director not, you know, giving everybody their apology that we deserve, just more like of a backhanded, oh, you're fine,
stop being a baby.
So I've been playing that with Matt and a couple of his friends. Really fun. It's not optimized. They are working on a bunch of stuff. I've seen it since I've been playing it. I've seen improvements, and it has gotten better. It's just a matter of time, though, that it'll eventually get to a point where I think it will compete very well with Escape from Tarkov. And then I think by the time this airs, I think the beta for the other one comes out. Oh man, what was that called? The one we talked about with 3-2-1 backloggers last week.
I think I know. I don't remember the name though.
The arena one. I can't remember the one that basically looks exactly like Escape from Tarkov, but different settings.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I think that comes out by the time this releases. So the beta. So honestly, it's only a matter of time. I digress, though. It's a lot of fun if you like. If you want like a modern shooter set in like the jungle. Like Vietnam almost. Not a bad game to play, honestly. It's pretty fun so far. There's a ton of things they need to work on, but like I said, they are working on. They're not just like, oh, we're going to pre-release this game and we'll fix it in a few months. No, they've been like doing hot fixes left and right. They've been optimizing the servers and stuff like that. So it's getting better. But it's a pre-release. Just, you know what you're getting yourselves into. If you sit there and bitch about it, like I've seen people bitch about, like, oh, it's not optimized. Like, okay, guys, what did you expect? It literally says, if people don't give Hades 2 shit because they're doing the same thing, I'm going to be very upset because that is, like, the norm. And
yeah, people are really stupid. Like, you know what early access means. Like, shut yes. the fuck up. It's got that, the optimization is on the way.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you buy it, and there's like, it's just so, so fucking bad, and you just can't play it, by all means, you can sit there and complain and be like, hey, I just want my money back at this point. I want to wait until it's fully released. That's fine. But don't come in here expecting it to be a full release and go, oh, I can't play it. My buddies, oh, okay. Or the ones who are complaining like, oh, I can't switch factions. What did you think was going to happen? This is not EFT. Just because you can pick one doesn't mean you should just willy-nilly do it. You should probably talk to your friends and go, I think we're all going to be Mithros. Anything else on Gray Zone? No, that's basically it. I just going to be another rant of last week, and I'd rather not get back into it. So
save it for next week, you son of a bitch.
Yes. And then the other game I've been playing is just Tales of Berseria. I'm just going back, going through all the Tales games and just trying to 100% them. So that's where I'm at with that.
What about Stellar Blade?
I talked about Stellar Blade. I said I haven't touched it as much.
Oh, okay. You haven't touched your because you've been too busy touching yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been in the best shape of my life.
He can't pull himself from himself. Okay. Well, hey, that was a real quick roundup of what we've been up to. Josh, as much as I don't want to do this, what do you say we get to the news?
Read all about it. Latest football scores. Morning paper, morning star. Paper, mister?
It's time for old news.
All right, let's do it. First off, of course, this is top of the hour news. Shock and anger as Xbox shuts down Arcane, Austin, Tango Gameworks, and more. IGN article written by Ryan Dinsdale. So for those who live under a rock or just, you know, not aware, basically, Xbox Game Studios came through and said, yeah, we're going to shut down a bunch of our subsidiaries and either decommission them completely or we're going to merge them with, Nick, what's the one? Starts with Z.
ZeniMax.
ZeniMax, thank you. For example, Tango, Arcane Austin and Tango Gameworks, who developed Redfall and Hi-Fi Rush, respectively. So Arcane Austin, goodbye. Redfall was awful. But the one that hurts the most is Tango Gameworks.
Hi-Fi Rush was probably the best game on this generation of Xbox. Like, I said it a little bit before the show, but I said it a little bit earlier, but like, and look, if you look, so yeah, there's a tweet here, someone asking about Hi-Fi Rush, as far as I know, has no physical version, no marketing, no multiplayer. What exactly determines success for an Xbox game these days? Is Xbox pressuring ZeniMax to deliver sales of its game? Maybe it shouldn't put so much emphasis on Game Pass. What's the goal here? And Aaron Greenberg with Xbox replied, Hi-Fi Rush was a breakout hit for us and our players in all key measurements and expectations. We couldn't be happier with what the team at Tango Gameworks delivered with this surprise release. So, I mean, at least on the outside, it seems like everyone was like, no, like this was really good, like awesome. And it's an awesome game from an awesome team that was doing, I mean, what else are we losing? We're losing the team that did the, not the Evil Dead games, the Evil Within games. Evil Within,
yep, and they also did the Tokyo Ghostwire.
They did the Naruto horror game, the Naruto finger horror game.
Tokyo Ghostwire. it just blows my mind. Like that, the rest of them that they announced, I'm like, okay, like there wasn't anything too big recently. But when they mentioned that, I'm like, what is going on here? What is happening at Microsoft right now? Because they're losing the console sales. They're losing physical media in totality at this point. They're shutting down all their studios.
Here's what they're doing. Here's what I was thinking about it on the drive home because I was mad because these people did not deserve to lose their job for greed and for Xbox pivoting towards putting more money towards Fallout, because they saw the show's success. Now they're like, well, fuck, we need to get a Fallout sooner than in 10 years. Here's what they're doing. So Game Pass, they're doing Netflix. They essentially are Netflix. They're under the presumption that, okay, hey, if we have enough people signed up for Game Pass, these other publishers, these developers will come to us looking to get onto Game Pass. And from the sounds of it, the Game Pass deals aren't as good as they once were. But Microsoft knows, like, no, we have the numbers over here. Like, come over here. And then what Microsoft is going to do in the meantime is take those earnings from Game Pass, take the money they're saving from these companies, and putting it into their Halos, their Gears of Wars, their Fallouts, their Elder Scrolls, which will do fine, but won't, like, the portfolio is going to get a lot thinner. Which is just, it's ridiculous, because what's the purpose of buying up all of these developers if you're just going to go out and shut down the ones that are really diversifying your portfolio? Makes no sense to me.
And all in all, Microsoft doesn't make any sense to me. It just seems like every month they have to do something that just baffles me even more.
If this were the 360 era, Gears of War, like, so what came out of the 360 era? We had Gears of War, we had peak Halo, we had Forza, and we had all of the like Xbox Live Arcade. Like, that was really like the introduction of the indie scene onto the consoles for everybody.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Microsoft had some acquisitions at that time. I think they bought they acquired the Splosion Man people. That's really the only major one I can think of, because Bethesda wasn't until Xbox One era. Activision is now. Xbox One era, they shut down, not Lionsgate, Lionshead.
Yeah.
They shut down the Fable folks.
But that was understandable, because 3 didn't do nearly as good, and that VR was just awful.
No, that's not understandable, because...
No, I'm saying to me personally.
Microsoft is the one that got behind the wheel and, like, drove it into the ground. And now you have this younger company, you have a hit in Hi-Fi Rush that, you know, looks like their first, like, viable IP since the 360 era. Like, can you name me a new IP in Microsoft's Xbox One era?
No, I don't think anybody can. Literally, the only two games I can think of right now that come into mind when I think of Xbox Series, whatever, is not Star Citizen. Their space game that failed.
Starfield,
thank you. Starfield, and even then, Halo Infinite, which, I mean, PC wise you could play it.
Well, and looking at their Xbox One fate, like, period of time, like, the only exclusives I can think of are The Gunk and Sunset Overdrive.
Titanfall
is not them.
Oh, I was thinking specific IPs only for Xbox.
Yeah, I'm talking Microsoft published, like,
there was nothing.
A whole lot of nothing. And so now you have, like, the one promising thing you've had in 10 years.
You just throw it to the dirt.
Because now I'm trying to think, like, well, what else have they published? So, yeah, Halo, as you mentioned, they have everything coming out of Obsidian. So Pentiment, they did the game with the ants I can't even think of, Overgrown or whatever it's called. They have the Age of Empires folks, or they at least published Age of Empires 4. Back in 2022. This is just disheartening, because it's like, okay, well, like, if success isn't going to be rewarded, like, what is the fucking point? And I think you see it across not just gaming, you see it in film, you see it in TV, you see it just everywhere. Like, okay, I'm doing great, and, you know, when you do great, there's supposed to be some upward mobility here, and it's not happening. And now you're shutting this down?
Yeah. Like it says, how we said before, how are you supposed to measure success at this point? Like, what are you supposed to do? You had a great run, and all of a sudden you're just, yeah, bye. We don't care about you.
Oh, you made like the most popular game that we've had in a while that isn't a Halo or a Gears or something. Get the fuck out of here. Sorry, I've got the lawnmower guys outside.
I can barely even hear it.
Oh well, good. I hope my mic is the same.
Nick, let's move on to some more positive news, more power to the players type stuff. You ready for this?
Oh god, I hate that you quoted them. Go ahead.
Well, that's nothing to do with GameStop. Helldivers 2 boss applauds the community's willpower over PSN account requirements. So, the Gamer article written by Joshua Robertson. For those who kind of just fell off the face of the earth this week, because it happened within a span of a week. Helldivers 2 had a requirement last week, basically, where the optional sign into your PSN account was no longer optional. They had just passed their, like, technical requirements to be able to force everybody to sign into their PSN accounts to be able to play Helldivers 2. Otherwise, you'd be removed and not be able to play it. There was huge backlash, especially on Steam. They got review bombed. People were pointing out like the facts of like, hey, there was like a hundred different countries that aren't able to legally go on to Sony and create an account because of whatever reasons, whether it's terms and conditions with them or it's because of their governments. And basically we're being told like, yeah, if you know, you can't make an account, sign in, you just lose it. So people were pissed and they review bombed the crap out of it. They went after Arrowhead at first, and Arrowhead was like, hey guys, it's not us. Like, we have to obey what Sony wants. Like, this is their doing, not us. So forcing all that hate towards Sony. And then at one point, even one of the community managers on their Discord was calling people out saying like, hey, if you don't like it, just, you know, give us a negative review and ask for a refund. Like, I don't give a shit. Yeah.
I have a follow-up question. So yes. I'm seeing a lot of success here. When does Arrowhead get shut down?
I don't think ever.
No. I'm seeing a lot of success here. When are we shutting them down? I'm a Sony executive. I want to know when we're shutting them down.
We're not shutting them down. They brought us the most popular game to our console so far, and it's helped us in our sales on the PC side, which is now outdoing Xbox, Microsoft in general. So yeah, we're not gonna let them go.
Hey, this guy's not cutting it. If we're not cutting Arrowhead, I think we should cut this guy. What's his salary?
I'll go work for Arrowhead. They can't be let go.
It's just many, many unforced errors here. You had Sony earlier this week with this, putting their foot in their mouth and being like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. We're sorry. Please forgive us, gamers. And now you have... It's just... Who is making these terrible decisions? I want to know. Can we get the guillotines out? Can we get the guillotines out?
So my big thing about it... So I know, not including those countries that were... Like, someone actually made a tweet and was like, here's all the countries. And they listed them out. Other than those, my question was... Look at Microsoft and look at like Rockstar, two companies that even when on different platforms, like just going through Steam alone, they make you sign into their own account. There wasn't really much backlash for those. Is it because those 100 countries are able to make those accounts and be able to go on? Or is it because players are tired of having to have multiple accounts to play on something?
It's normal. It's Internet 101. When you want someone to look at something, or you want someone to like be in something, you need the amount of clicks, the amount of things they have to do to get into it needs to be as minimal as possible. And so when you're asking someone who already had to get a Steam account, purchase the game through their Steam account, when you're asking them to open the game and then log into another account, you're asking a lot.
But that begs the question, why were they fine doing it for Grand Theft Auto 5? Why were they fine doing it for Red Dead Redemption 2? Why were they fine doing it for Halo Master Chief Collection?
There are people who are doing it and logging in, but they're not happy about it. I think the issue is that these Steam players have been signing in normally with their Steam account and playing the game for what has it been, the last 3 months? Mm-hmm. And so Sony implementing this, like after 3 months, it's like, okay, like this, that 3 month window showed everyone like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to have that extra sign in. You don't need to do this. And now you're telling me you can't not do it. Like if you're going to do it, you have to lead with it. You can't fucking be like, okay, here's a 3 month window. You've made a habit of this. Well, you got to sign into one more thing. Okay. All right. You can't start out without that limitation and then expect people to fall in line when you've shown them that they don't, that's something they don't have to do.
That's fair. The good news that came from all this though, is that Sony finally backpedaled and said, okay, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to backpedal and just say, no, everybody's good. You know, new players right now. And then current players beginning May 30th, we're good. We're all good, guys. It's so funny that Arrowhead is even, there was a leaked possibility of a new cape, and there's the design, and it's basically going to be the Steam reviews of how it looks. It's the you know how the, when you look at the reviews for like per all the whole timeline, it shows you like on certain like time frames how much they did, whether it's positive or negative. Mm-hmm. It's the overwhelmingly negative review lines.
Well, and looking at the Steam charts, like they dipped after the announcement. They dipped hard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they bounce back, but like, yeah, you can't fucking, people are not fucking mules on a treadmill. You can't fucking feed a mule on a treadmill a carrot and then do a carrot on a string. You can't fucking do it because it's already been fed the carrot. It's not going to pursue a carrot on the string then.
Yeah, I would say the only thing I'd worry about that comes from this is Sony going to be a little more careful of what they release going forward and how they release it.
I think in the future, they're just going to be like, oh, out the gate, you have to sign in. Sorry, you have to.
And I'm shocked they haven't. I mean, I don't have any, other than Days Gone, I don't really have any other Sony games on my Steam account. And I know with Days Gone, I didn't need to do it. So I'm like, has there been any newer, even single-player games that have come out that make you do it?
I'm not in that. Yeah, Helldivers is the only one I have as well. So I'm like, I
had Helldivers now too. Yeah, but yeah, like I said, Days Gone didn't do it. So I'm like, I mean, I'd be curious to see because I don't know of any other ones that do it.
All right, we got one more story about the big three, right?
Oh yes, Nintendo. Yeah, so Nintendo's even starting to go after the Yuzu clones now.
So, okay, so this is from GameSpot. This is from Steven Wright. I think what this is signifying is that Switch 2 is like right on the cusp of being announced. And what they want to do going into that is snuff out anyone that's emulating their Switch. Because if you're emulating the Switch, it's just the jump in tech, it's Nintendo. It's not going to be like a rocket. It's going to be this thing that's easily copied. And I think what they're trying to do here is like snuff this out so then when the new one comes out, people are less likely to like jump on and be like, we got to do this.
They're going to have some updates for all their big games. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, it plays the old Switch 1 games like Mario Party 10. Whatever, I don't know at this point. The other Mario games, all the Metroid games, all the Zelda games. They're going to run in 60 frames per second and they're going to, you know, you're going to be able to 4K that shit onto your TVs.
Well, and I think where a lot of these projects fuck up, because Yuzu had a Patreon and was making money off of this. And I'm sure all these other knuckleheads were doing the same shit. You can't do that. You can't fucking do that. And hey, I'm not here to tell you not to pirate, like, but don't, you can't fucking pirate and then be like, hey, you know that Metroid, you know that Metroid game, that Metroid Dread game that just came out? We got it.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree. Pirate away, because if there are talks of removing physical media and that we don't actually own the licenses or own the games in digital form, by all means, that is not stealing.
I mean, Nintendo's not what Nintendo wants. Nintendo wants closed networks, so that's why.
Right.
That's why Nintendo game, like whenever you jump into the newest Nintendo console, it's always the hardest. Nintendo's library is always the hardest to carry over.
Yeah,
it has been since we've been grown. Every once in a while, like they would do the, like for GameCube, they did the Zelda collection, and then you know you hop over a few generations later and you can't really play that anymore. You have to like find a new way. Yep. So Nintendo's not the most friendly when it comes to like replayability of your older games, because you gotta pull out the old Nintendo console, you gotta pull out the AV cables. But license wise, I mean, don't fucking set up a Patreon if you're gonna pirate this shit. Like fucking do it on the low key. Like don't bring in your narc friends. Fucking just bring in a few folks, and then fucking, you know, don't let Kotaku write a fucking article about you. Why? Yeah. What? It reminds me of Tokyo Vice. Tokyo Vice, the main character Jake. I keep wanting to call him Jake Sully. He's not Jake Sully. He does an interest piece on like a motorcycle thief in Tokyo, and guess what happens? The thief ends up getting busted because he did a piece for the newspaper. It's like, what the?
What did you expect?
Kotaku. First of all, Kotaku wonders why they're in Nintendo jail and they don't get Nintendo, they don't get review copies. That is fucking why. Yeah. Believe me. I think you should have access to your review copies so that you can inform the people. But when you're informing them of ways to steal the game, like, what the fuck are you doing?
What were you thinking?
You're operating like a forum. You are not a forum. You are a news website. And I'm using the term
news website.
I'm using the term news lightly in some cases there. But Nintendo, I mean, Nintendo's going to keep doing this. Switch 2 is going to be announced probably I'd say it's going to get announced in July. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've announced they're doing their own type of new E3 thing, didn't they?
Probably just Nintendo Direct stuff. I haven't seen anything.
I could have sworn that I saw something that said they were going to do their own new, like, it wasn't going to be a Nintendo Direct. It was going to be like their own version of E3. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Open world Terminator game is taking a page out of Resident Evil playbook. This is a game right article written by Jose V. Rosai?
Either way. I'm struggling too.
Yeah, we're all struggling. I apologize, Jose. You're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. So sounds like with this new open world Terminator game, we're going to get our own version of Mr. X code in there. So we're going to have a T-800 hunt us down. I'm not going to lie, that sounds awesome.
See, I love the sound of this.
It just sounds so cool.
Because there was I'm thinking of the RoboCop game, but like these old, like I love it when someone takes IP and does something interesting with it instead of just, oh, it's a shooter. Oh, it's a this, it's a that. No, like, and second of all, I'm surprised that this is happening because I thought that game, not format, but whatever what do they call it? It's not the Nemesis system. That's the fucking Lord of the Rings games.
What do they call that?
It's got a name, but I'm surprised like Capcom doesn't have like some kind of copyright on that. Because I'm pretty sure WB, when the Lord of the Rings games were coming out and they had that Nemesis system, pretty sure WB had something on that, so no one could implement something like that into their games.
Man, what do they call that? That's going to bother me now.
Who's making this?
Oh, that is...
Developers decided to implement type of enemy. Nacon developed by Nacon. Set in 2009, so right around T3 time. Cool, because I like T3. Like one of the few people who likes T3.
Yeah, it's just Nacon, Studio Milan.
I don't know what else they've worked on that kind of bugs make. Is there anything I can click on here? Let's see.
So I can do
Greedfall. Yeah. Greedfall. Oh,
are you just looking at the publisher?
Yeah.
Okay, so the developer has done Rims Racing, which is like motorcycle.
Did they do RoboCop Rogue City?
No.
Okay. Did they publish it? Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. I could see that.
But this sounds cool. I'll probably check this out when it comes out.
Oh yeah, like I'm just the fact that we're gonna have a T-800 come after us and it can't be stopped. Yeah, you had me at hello. Let me see what you're gonna do with this.
I like to be chased. What's next?
I love the chase. Finally, Hellblade 2 PC requirements were revealed.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
And boy, oh boy! First off, IGN article written by Taylor Lyles. it looks promising. It looks very promising at that.
It looks like I can run this, Josh.
Oh, so yeah, for those who aren't aware, minimum wise, this is at low at 1080p. You need a minimum Intel i5-8400 or AMD Ryzen 5 2600 with a NVIDIA GTX 1070 or AMD RX 5700 or an Intel, even an Intel Arc 580. The fact that we're starting to see Intel Arc specs makes me so happy. 6 gigabytes of VRAM, 16 gigabytes of system RAM. Looks like it's going to take about 70 gigabytes of storage, and you need to have Windows 10 or 11.
You see, that's a healthy sized game. 70 gigabytes. Yes. Like, anytime you get anything over like 90, I'm like, what are we doing?
Then that's why I question games like Warzone and any game that takes over 100. Like, why? My game does not need to be that like magical that it's going to take up the whole SSD that I have set aside for, you know, all these games.
When is this out? This is out 21st.
Yep, we're getting close to it.
And it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. Honestly, Nick, it might be one of the reasons why I get Game Pass.
I still need to play the first one.
I need to finish it. I got halfway through it, I think.
I do like
it. Yeah, it just looks really good, too. I don't know if you've seen the screenshots and the trailer they had for it. It looks really good.
It looks spooky.
Yeah. I think it looks spookier than the first one did.
I'm here for it.
Also, it seems a little brighter because if I remember correctly, the first one was like very like not washed out, but it was like very like neutral gray. Like
Ninja Theory, Ninja Theory, they got bought up by Microsoft, right?
I believe they did. Yes.
Why are they still around, Josh?
I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say, Nick.
Hellblade 2 is going to be a massive success, and then Ninja Theory would go bye-bye, right?
And then this might be the second best, or no, it'll probably beat Hi-Fi Rush, but it'll be the second IP that Microsoft owns that actually comes to the console and is good.
Just know that I'm rooting for them, but let it be known I'm getting my guillotines ready. Prepare the guillotines. Prepare them.
That's fair.
But
that's the news.
That's the news. Josh, you got a meme for us?
Meme time.
Oh, I've got two.
Oh god. All right, let's see what we got here.
All right, so the first one here. Small.
Good.
Sorry. So the first one here, it's Thanos with his little balancing act with the knife. On the left-hand side, it's a picture of the players spreading democracy and announcing that Sony surrendered. And then to the right is the Arrowhead celebrating Sony's loss by giving us a commemorative cape. Perfectly balanced. And at the bottom, it's PC players as Thanos. Democracy.
Don't
as
you,
all things should be.
Don't you have to log in to PSN to get...
No.
The cape? I'm pretty sure I read that you have to
It's not out yet.
Okay.
That picture there that you see is fan-made. But they, the Arrowhead CEO said, like, yeah, no, we have it already. We're just determining when and where we should release this.
Hey, you know what? When you can stick it to your publisher, why not? Let's fucking do it. What else you got?
The other one, it's a live image of Xbox Game Studios right now. And it's the head of the department.
Oh, is that Greenberg? Is that Greenberg?
No, that is Alan...
Alan Greenberg.
Is that Alan? Yeah, okay. No, Alan Hartman.
Oh.
It's Alan Hartman.
They're all... These executives, they're all the same.
But it's him burning down the studios.
Very timely. I'm glad that you were able to get that one in under the wire, Josh. That was...
I literally did while I was waiting for you.
Literally took you... Literally... Late breaking meme.
Which one do you think is better, though, Nick?
I like the balanced one, just because okay. I like a good Thanos meme. Hey, that's the show. We're not doing any of the plugs. Sucks for everyone that is out of a job today. Really sorry for your guys' loss. Hope you all land on your feet. We're fucking out of here.